Sharing the secrets of anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being, this is Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Welcome back to AM 770 KTTH. This is indeed the Green Medicine radio program. And rather than the usual brief introduction, saying thank you to everybody, which I'll resume doing next week, I'm going to go over a topic, sorry about that, folks, that was covered in a newsletter a year or two ago, but that everyone still hasn't heard of. And since I think we're all getting older, I sure am, we need to be well aware of this. It's called gastropause. What's gastropause? Well, we're all aware, especially women, of menopause, when women's ovaries reduce and then stop making estrogens, progesterone, and a little bit of testosterone. Men's testosterone levels decline with time, too, a process termed andropause. Since the beginnings of comprehensive bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which was first done at Tomo Clinic in the early 1980s, nearly hundreds of postmenopausal women observed they're staying healthier for significantly longer than postmenopausal women not using bioidentical hormone replacement. So, there's a treatment that can be effective and safe for menopause. Now, we men are, as women sometimes say, slower than women to actively take care of our own health. However, we men are faster, for obvious to men reasons, to do something to actively do something about our declining testosterone levels. Yes, we are, and doing that as part of male bioidentical hormone replacement has the same effectiveness and safety as promoting healthy longevity with bioidentical hormone replacement for women. Okay, you know all that, so where am I going? There's a third important pause that happens to both women and men that very significantly lowers our chances of healthy longevity. That third pause is totally overlooked in patent medicine, as practiced by the mainstream, and believe it or not, is often actually made much worse by mainstream or standard of care medicine. This third pause is named, yeah, by me, but I had to name it something. It's named gastropause, which is the often declining function of our stomachs over time. And I do mean often. There's statistics coming up from the Mayo Clinic on this. Now, gastropause doesn't happen to everyone at the same time. It's at varying times. At Tahoma Clinic, we've congratulated the occasional 85-year-old about his or her 100% normal stomach function. But more often than not, gastropause occurs by that age. Now, gastropause, or stomach slowing down, another way of looking at it, although that name wasn't used then, was extremely well documented, and I do mean extremely well documented, in a 1932 research publication from the Mayo Clinic titled Normal Range of Gastric Acidity, yep, that's stomach acid, from youth to old age. It was published in 1932, no kidding. Led by Dr. Nancy Van Zandt, Mayo Clinic researchers reviewed stomach acid secretion tests. At that time, they did it by pumping out your stomach, which, very fortunately, we don't have to do anymore to find out if the stomach is working to make enough acid. Anyway, reviewed stomach acid secretion tests for 3,308 research volunteers, 1,454 women and 1,854 men. Everybody's between the ages of 20 and 79 years of age. Here's the Mayo Clinic report about the percentage of individuals 20 years of age and older whose stomachs were found to secrete less than optimal hydrochloric acid. What's less than optimal? Well, anything less that our stomachs make when we're in our teens. They make a bunch of hydrochloric acid. And declining hydrochloric acid or suboptimal hydrochloric acid in the stomach is the definition of gastropause. As might be expected, the frequency of the problem increased in both sexes with age until ages 60 to 69. Women had a higher percentage of suboptimal stomach acid secretion, which in technical terms is called hypochlorhydria, or lower than optimal stomach acid, and achlorhydria, which means, oops, no secretion of stomach acid at all. Women had lower higher rates of this than men in every age group. I'm sorry, nature is being sexist and unfair again, but that's the way it went. Here's a summary of what the researchers reported. Between ages of 20 and 29, men, it was 5.7 whose stomach acid was already starting to decline in their 20s. Women, it was 10.8. Between 30 and 39, it was men 8%, women 21%, 1 in 5. Between ages of 40 and 49, it was men 22% and women 22% and women 32%. Between age 50 and 59, men 38%. We're up over one-third of us guys now. Women 40.9%. Between 60 and 69, it was men 49.8%. That's almost half of the guys out there were starting to decline in their stomach acid. Women 59.2%. And then when we get to 70 to 79, it's 42.2% of the men and women 35.5. What happened? The percentage went down in the 70s from where it was in the 60s. What happened? Well, the researchers gave an explanation for the decline in percentage of individuals tested with low or no stomach acid in their 70s. Quote, after the age of 65 years, it appears to be a definite falling off in the amount of low stomach acid measured, possibly because people with lower than optimal stomach acid are not as long-lived as those who have strongly acid gastric juice. A briefer version of this explanation would be, individuals with low or no stomach acid don't live as long. Of course not. Good digestion starts with strong stomach acid. That's just the way nature and creation are. The same cells that make hydrochloric acid, which helps to break down the food, also make an enzyme called pepsin, which is an enzyme focused on digesting proteins into amino acids, the building blocks of all of our body proteins. When stomach acid goes low, blood levels of essential amino acids, which are digested out of proteins, are low. So how are we going to rebuild our body proteins if this happens? Strong stomach acid helps separate the minerals from the food matrix in which they're found. When stomach acid is low, levels of many essential minerals are low. Normally functioning stomach lining cells also make something called intrinsic factor, which really should be named after its function as vitamin B12 absorption factor. Without this thing called intrinsic factor, otherwise known as vitamin B12 absorption factor, vitamin B12 simply cannot be absorbed. We can swallow half a bottle of vitamin B12 pills, and they'll just plonk into the toilet, because this absorption factor, intrinsic factor for them, must be made by the same cells which are declining in their function already, not making enough acid, not making enough pepsin, and definitely not making enough intrinsic factor or vitamin B12 absorption factor. That's why so many older people are given vitamin B12 injections, because their stomachs are sufficiently gone into gastropause they can't absorb sufficient vitamin B12 from food or from supplements. Now, the effects of stomach acid reach way beyond optimal digestion in the stomach. When food is fully acid digested, the acid actually stimulates the opening of that round circular sphincter muscle separating the stomach from the uppermost small intestine called the duodenum. When the acid and food are released into the duodenum, they stimulate the release of a hormone named secretin. Somebody won a Nobel Prize for discovering this in 1901, by the way, folks. And that hormone named secretin stimulates the pancreas to secrete bicarbonate. Pancreatic bicarbonate, it not only neutralizes the gastric acidity, which it must do because the pancreatic enzymes want to work in an alkaline environment, and with more alkalinity, this part of the digestive process starts to break down fats, carbohydrates, and the remaining undigested proteins into easily absorbable particles ready to be absorbed further down the intestinal tract. But without this adequate secretin signal, released by optimal acidity and optimally digested food at the end of gastric digestion, the pancreas can't do its digestive job optimally either. Optimal stomach acid is necessary for the best of health. How can we possibly expect to stay healthy if enough fully digested nutrients are not available to keep the bodies within which we spend our lives on planet Earth as well repaired as possible? It should be no surprise that Dr. Van Zandt's team found that after age 60, a larger percentage of individuals who had low stomach acid simply weren't with us anymore. Stomach acid is literally tied to how long we live. There are more adverse effects of gastropause, too, lowering stomach acid. One is the growth of increasingly unfriendly intestinal bacteria and fungi and stuff like that. An obvious example of this is acne rosacea, which results from the growth of a certain kind of bacteria in the upper small intestine that doesn't belong there. It can't grow there if the acid is passing into across it from the stomach is optimal. Now, for details along with citations about curing, that's curing acne rosacea with nothing more than taking hydrochloric acid with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, see the June 2017 Green Minute Medicine newsletter. And if you're a subscriber, you can read all about it in the archives. Many other unfriendly microorganisms are also encouraged to grow in the more alkaline intestinal environment. And, of course, yes, it's supposed to turn more alkaline after it goes by the pancreas, but it needs that acid environment in the upper part. Now, testing for gastropause. How do you know if you got gastropause? It doesn't always give a symptom. But let me tell you, folks, when we're getting so-called acid reflux, that is a symptom of low stomach acid, not high stomach acid, because high stomach acid is required to close the sphincter muscle that goes back to the esophagus. So here comes the food. It gets through the esophagus. It gets into the stomach. Here's all this acid, and that acid triggers closing. No kidding. That's well-researched. It triggers closing of that valve so that the acid reflux can't get back. So, folks, if you've got acid reflux, you've probably got low stomach acid. And the stupidity, entire stupidity in the face of the research about what closes that valve, the stupidity of giving people patent medications which shut off all their stomach acid is totally stupid. It's making those people even more likely to die sooner than they would. And there is research documentation on extra cognitive disease, extra this, extra that, extra the other thing in people who take those acid-blocking medications. Good grief. We need to have optimal stomach acid to close that valve so we don't have acid reflux. Folks, please work with a practitioner skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine who can simply and precisely measure whether or not you have optimal stomach acid if we want to live as long and healthy as we can. Using equipment whose use is described as gastric analysis by radiotelemetry, no, we no longer have to pump out anybody's tummy, also called the Heidelberg capsule test. Make sure, ask this physician's office before doing any testing, that the procedure being followed in the use of this equipment is the one reported by researchers at the University of Toronto in 1970. No kidding, 1970. It's still the very best. I am not kidding, folks. It is still the very best testing procedure. If it's not being used, please find another physician who uses both that equipment and these procedures. And, of course, we have been using them since the 1970s at Tahoma Clinic. As less than optimal stomach acid is found by this testing and betaine hydrochloride is recommended, make sure the physician measures levels of nutrients before you start taking the hydrochloric acid. Check the minerals with a hair mineral analysis, amino acids with a fasting plasma essential amino acid blood test, and then you do that after taking betaine hydrochloride for a while to make sure the number of capsules recommended to be taken with meals is sufficient to get the job done by seeing rising levels of previously lower minerals and amino acids. Some of us decide to skip the testing and just simply take the capsules rather than suffer from increasing heartburn. This does not mean they're not needed. If it hurts, I'm sorry. Sometimes people take that betaine hydrochloride and it hurts. Now, a pain response to betaine hydrochloride with pepsin usually means that the stomach lining has gotten so weak it can't handle the added hydrochloric acid as it did for nearly all of us when we were teenagers. Fortunately, there is a way to rebuild the stomach lining that involves all natural materials taken for a couple of months, and then after that, people who are found to have low hydrochloric acid can now take the betaine hydrochloride, and it doesn't hurt anymore. It's kind of similar to having sex hurt after menopause for ladies, and they get on the estrogen progesterone. We helps rebuild the tissues, doesn't hurt anymore. Well, same thing. When the stomach acid is low, many of us can take the hydrochloric acid pepsin. And just like when we were younger, we have lots of acid now in our tummies, digesting that food really good so we can live more healthy and older, and it doesn't hurt. But some of us, the lining needs rebuilding, and there are ways of doing that too. Anyway, folks, if you want the citations, all of this, go to your Green Medicine newsletter website and look up gastropause. But the reason I wanted to go on and on, and I surely did about this today, it's another thing that threatens healthy longevity that we're told, oh, that acid reflux, why, that means you need to shut off your stomach acid. Good grief. It needs really means we need to help that sphincter valve close so the stomach acid doesn't get back through by taking additional hydrochloric acid. No kidding, folks. So if we want to live longer and healthier, never, ever take an acid-blocking medication. Work with a physician on what amount of hydrochloric acid works for you by following the results of it with the mineral test and the amino acid testing. And we'll all live longer and healthier, and sooner or later, all of us are going to have this problem. It's like the ovaries and the testicles declining. Well, so does the stomach function. That's just nature and creation. Okay, time for me to shut up and get to your calls. After our announcements, of course.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
We've all heard of using curcumin as a spice, but in the March issue of the Green Medicine newsletter, Dr. Wright gives a detailed look at the many health benefits that curcumin provides. He quotes a renowned doctor who shares that curcumin is by far one of the most powerful antioxidants known to science, hundreds of times more powerful than blueberries and dark chocolate. In addition, studies reveal that curcumin can lessen or eliminate depression, prevent Alzheimer's and other dementia, reduce obesity, and much more. Subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter for the full article and for other health insights. Visit greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. That's 602-252-4477. The Green Medicine Newsletter at greenmedicinenewsletter.com. Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878.
And now, back to Green Medicine, here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Well, sorry about the rant before, and I will be getting to your call shortly, but I'm so excited about getting that information out again. And I'll probably get it out again in a few weeks because it's a pause in the body function that nobody tells us about because in the so-called mainstream, they want to sell you things to make it worse. I'm not kidding. Been doing it for years. Made billions of dollars. Oh, yes. And the research that showed that acid closes that sphincter muscle. If there's enough acid, it closes that muscle and it can't reflux. It was reported in 1980. Probably done a couple of years before. 1980. Oy vey. Okay, time for me to shut up and do the call-in numbers, 206-421-0770, 206-421-0770, and good old 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. But Karen and Vinay have rescued us all from having to listen to me carry on. So, hi, Karen. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Wright. How are you today?
Well, I'm waiting for the sun to come out. How about you?
Oh, well, I'm in Phoenix, so the sun's been out, and I'm waiting for some clouds.
Oh, well, I'll trade
We're
you.
Already
I'll trade
over
you.
100 degrees.
I'll trade you some of our clouds for some of your sunshine. Is it a deal if we can do it?
That would be good, yes.
Okay. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a postmenopausal woman, and I have been, I understand and agree with the importance of bioidentical hormones, and I've been trying to get balanced for over 3 years. I've been doing a biased at 80-20. It's been the troche. It's been a fairly low dose at like 2.2. Actually, it's 2 to 2.5 of the estrogens, and then 70 progesterone, and then there was some DHEA like 15, I think, and then pregnenolone also that of 35. So it was a 4-in-1. I took it. I've been taking it every day. It's not cyclical. And my FSH and my SHBG and my estrone are all really high.
Of course they are.
And I'm hoping that maybe you have some suggestions on what I could do to get balanced, because I'm just, I actually how I came across your book and your information, and I've already registered for your newsletter, and I've been listening to all of your YouTube and your interviews.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm so okay. Thankful. Yes, just for the last few days. And I was so sick and tired of these ups and downs for, like I said, 3+ years. I was just about ready to go with, I think it's kind of a, I don't think it's a very, what would you call it? Popular protocol, but it's one where it's a rhythmic protocol where you actually go back with excess estrogen and progesterone and have a period. And it's anywhere from a low of like 8 milligrams all the way up to like 20 milligrams of estrogen a day. And I was just getting so desperate, but then I read your book. And I said, wait a minute, if he is like the best with bioidenticals, and if you're believing in triester biased and smaller dosages, then I'm going to wait to make the jump and see if maybe you could just give me some direction on how I can stay at the lower dose and get my numbers in line.
Yes, ma'am. And those are very typical lower doses, quote unquote. For women, and they very typically do the job. Now, one of the big problems is putting them all in one thing. Good grief! These are all what are called steroid molecules, which means they're all the same shape and size. They're not artificial steroids now. They're natural steroids. And they're all the same shape and size. And you put 5 different species of them. Here we got testosterone and estrogen, and that's both estradiol and estriol, and now we got DHEA. They're all competing to get in, and they can't do that. They have to be in separate little syringes. I assume they're in syringes. That's what they usually do. You don't inject it, by the way. It's a syringe with no needle, and you press out 1/10 or 2/10 of a cc, something like that. The only things we will put together, because the ovaries do that too, is the estriol, which should be the major component in that 80-20 estrogen, and estradiol. They're accustomed to traveling together out of the ovaries, aren't they? Uh-huh. They sure are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next thing you said, a troche. Does that troche go in the vaginal area? Where is it going?
No, it was going in my mouth, but for the first time last night, after reading your books and listening to you, I just experimented in the vaginal area, like just rubbing it on the inside. I don't know if it's right. I don't know, but I said, I'm just so desperate. So
yeah.
I skipped the arm because I heard you say that at some point that's going to start absorbing. I just
poorly.
Recently, 3 weeks ago, went to a cream from the troche. So I was rubbing it on my arm for 3 weeks, and then I heard your talk yesterday, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to jump right to the vaginal area and go inside, not up, but just inside and rub around, and that's
anywhere,
what I did.
Anywhere there are mucous membranes. Now, I fairly much assume there's no children listening to this this show, so for ladies, that means the vaginal area, the inner labia, and the inner part of the outer labia, not where there's hair, skin and hair, but the inner part where it's mucous membrane. And those two estrogens can be combined, and they work quite nicely for many, many women at the doses you've mentioned. Now, I'll get to the other hormones in a moment, but somebody's making a big old mistake with having you take them every day. There's a study from Europe. It's on many, many women. I think it's 30, 40,000, something like that. The ones who took their hormones every day had a significantly higher risk of breast cancer than the ones who took it with a 3 or 4 day break. And I do mean break, when we don't take any. But no bleeding is expected here, ma'am. The women I work with, if they happen to have breakthrough bleeding, it's very unusual. That's number one. And then the first thing we do when that happens is say, oh, okay, a little less estrogen, a little more progesterone. And that usually puts an end to any episodes of breakthrough bleeding. We're not shooting for menstrual periods here. That's not something that, what shall I say, that nature intended women to have. So if a woman is going to get hormones, which nature didn't intend either, but if we duplicate what nature does, we're pretty safe. We don't have to have those menstrual periods if we're ladies. Okay, so the estrogen should go on over here. Let's say it's on the inner aspect of the right, left side. And the testosterone should go down the other side. Women do need testosterone, too. Not very much of it, just like us guys don't need much estrogen. But still, they do need some testosterone. The Harvard research cause of dry eyes happens to be no testosterone for a woman, or virtually none. So we don't want that to happen, do we? Okay, then we got the DHEA. Now, the DHEA is the exception to 3 or 4 days off. And how do you decide whether it's 3 or 4? How many days was your heaviest bleeding when you were having menstrual cycles when you were 30 or 40? That's how you decide. And if you were having it for 3 days, okay, 3 days off. 4 days, 4 days off. Okay, DHEA, though, is made by the adrenal glands. Nothing to do with the ovaries. And the adrenal glands make it every day. They don't stop. So we just copy what nature does again, and it needs to be rubbed into a mucous membrane again. But you don't rub the DHEA with the testosterone or with the estrogens. You rub it at a different time. So you use some in the morning, some at night. That's all. And let's see. Did you say you're using anything else besides estrogens, progesterone, and DHEA? Oh, yes, testosterone.
The pregnenolone.
The pregnenolone. I would stay away from that stuff, ma'am. Is it a capsule or a tablet, or is it a rub-in?
No, it was in my trochee, and now it's in my cream.
It doesn't belong there, ma'am. Here's why. Pregnenolone is like the very top end of a waterfall. And it goes to the top end of the waterfall, and it can go down many, many channels. You've seen waterfalls. One channel goes to progesterone. One channel goes to cortisol, of all things. One channel goes to another steroid molecule. It can go to many ways, and there is no way of predicting what will happen. I have seen people taking pregnenolone where it all ended up as cortisol, and they didn't need that extra cortisol. And I saw a big, hefty weightlifting guy one time who was using pregnenolone, and guess what? It raised his estrogens, and it didn't go to testosterone and so forth. We cannot predict where that pregnenolone will go. So if a person must use pregnenolone, I always encourage them to do it after they've got their other hormones balanced. And then if they do want to introduce a little pregnenolone for any reason, which isn't really necessary in my opinion, but if they do, okay, then you wait a couple months after introducing it and check yourself again to make sure it didn't go to where we don't want it to go.
Okay. I guess I was under the impression that DHEA along with pregnenolone made the testosterone, because I'm not on testosterone, but
ma'am. I don't know who's doing your bioidentic hormones, but they need to take a class or two or three. You got to use testosterone in its own right. And as I said, I work with hardly anybody who takes pregnenolone because we're using the things that pregnenolone turns into, so why use more pregnenolone?
Okay. All right.
So there you go, ma'am.
So what having them separate, taking a 3 or 4 day break, and that's just for the progesterone and the estrogen.
And the testosterone once you get that started. Yeah.
Okay, and the testosterone, and then continue with either on the skin or the other area, and then the FSH and the SHBG and the estrone number should all go down?
Well, actually, ma'am, your pregnenolone may have been going to estrone. The other two estrogens can't do that. And they never should go on the skin. Why? Well, in the early 1980s, when bioidentical hormone stuff was first getting started, ma'am, what I found is that after a while, the skin didn't want to have it anymore. It belongs on mucous membranes in those areas. It doesn't belong on the skin. It'll work for a while, but then it just slowly quits working. So anyway, it's got to be rubbed in. You can do different locations, different times of day or night. And I'm sorry, but we got to go to our break here. This is radio. You know how that goes, ma'am. So anyway, I hope you can find somebody who knows what they're really doing with bioidentical hormones down there. I'll give you a clue about how to find somebody. You call Meridian Valley Laboratory and ask them, do you have a client in my area? Because people who use Meridian Valley Laboratory usually know what they're doing.
Okay, now you don't do video or phone appointments?
Of course we do. All of our Tahoma doctors do that. So you could do that too if you feel like it.
Okay, Meridian Valley Labs, or I can call on Tuesday, I guess. Okay, very good. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Or call Tahoma Clinic, whichever you prefer. Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Have you heard about Tea Builder? Tea Builder contains 10 ingredients, each chosen because research studies reported that 9 of Tea Builder's 10 ingredients stimulates men's own bodies to produce more testosterone and or free testosterone. What does the 10th ingredient do? That 10th ingredient is nature's original molecular version of Viagra. Of course, Viagra is not only more potent, but also patentable, more expensive, and has potential adverse effects. Tea Builder, which helps men's bodies make more testosterone, is a safe, effective alternative, and it's not pricey. A 30-day supply, one bottle of 150 capsules, is $29.95. If your entire order is over $35, your shipping is free. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 for Tea Builder, the formulation that helps men's bodies make more testosterone. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Dr. Jonathan Wright's SunPal is a multivitamin, antioxidant, mineral, and amino acid formulation comprised of nutrients that exert a positive effect on the structure and function of skin. It significantly reduces the risk of skin cancer. This all-natural, research-based supplement was created based on the work of Neva Shapira, Ph.D. Dr. Shapira pointed out in her brilliant article in Nutrition Reviews that the melanoma skin cancer rate in Greece was less than the melanoma skin cancer rate in Australia. Both countries provide plenty of sunshine, so why the difference? Many of the nutrients in the Greek diet, which aren't present in the Australian diet, significantly reduce the risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. SunPal contains the majority of these missing ingredients. Dr. Wright supports this belief, so go ahead and enjoy the outdoors again this summer, and every time you're outside, go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. 1-888-893-6878.
If you want a better tan this summer, you need to check out Dr. Jonathan Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. It's loaded with amino acids, vitamins, and copper that increases the body's ability for melanin production. Even the fairest skin people will be able to tan to a noticeable degree. Take advantage of your body's own natural tanning chemistry to prolong the length of time you spend in the sun before you start to turn pink. The latest science-determined nutrients will offer skin support and allow you to develop a healthy, natural glow. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. That's 1-888-893-6878. Dr. Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. Order now by calling 1-888-893-6878. That's 1-888-893-6878. Fair skin folks, this is your ray of sunshine. Tan Pal. Call 1-888-893-6878.
You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Well, thank you to Vinay and Betsy and Michael and for putting up with me carrying on so long there about bioidentical hormones. But it's kind of important to get that word out to women and men who use bioidentical hormones, too, about how to best use them for the best effect and do as little harm as possible. And actually, there are studies that show no harm in a large group of women over 2 or 3 years. So anyway, thanks for putting up with that, and I should shut up and listen to Vinay. Hi, Vinay.
Hello. Hey, you won't believe this, but we've been sitting here since morning waiting to call you on your program.
Uh-oh.
And had no idea that this was going to be your topic today. But that is exactly what we need to talk to you about.
Go for it.
My wife has a reflux problem happening. It came on several weeks ago, where it became such a problem that she cannot sleep in the bed. She has to try to sleep in a chair. And it's not the acid burning kind of reflux. It's more of a silent reflux, I think is what they're calling it. And of course, like you said in your intro, the first thing they did was steer us towards omeprazole and pantoprazole and those kinds of acid reducer, the ones over the counter, Prilosec and stuff like that, and it doesn't seem to be doing the least bit of good. It sounds like, I mean, we read about it online and things, and it looks like pepsin has made its way up into her throat, and then I guess every time that there is any kind of acid coming up, apparently it activates the pepsin, and it causes a lump in her throat. She feels like she's choking. Oh, and post-nasal drip is also happening, and maybe that's being triggered by the reflux, or maybe the reflux is being triggered by that. But anyway, we wanted to talk to you about that, and lo and behold, this is your subject today.
Yep, it sure was, because many of the folks who listen to this program have gotten out of I'm going to live forever because I'm young into being somewhat older, and we're all wanting to do, including me, everything we can to stay as healthy as we can for as long as we can. And this just totally gets overlooked by so-called standard of care medicine, because for whatever reason, they believe the patent medicine companies that we should block the acidity, which, as the Mayo Clinic pointed out, the more you block your acidity, the more likely you are to actually just simply die and not be in the statistics. So getting back to your wife, she definitely needs to be working with a physician who is familiar with this problem and can test and see how far down her stomach acid is gone. It can go, it can actually give symptoms when it's down by a little as little as 20%, and it doesn't necessarily have to give proportionately worse symptoms when it gets all the way to 100%, but it usually does give the kind of symptoms you're talking about, because that sphincter valve stays open. What triggers its closing is full acidity, and so we not only have to find out what her stomach acid is, but we need to know about the things that are most affected by lack of stomach acid, namely where her mineral levels and where her amino acid levels. Why do we need to know that? Because in just a few people, this is not common among people with reflux, but in just a few people, their minerals and their amino acids are so doggone low, and their stomach linings have been getting weaker and weaker for so long that even when we find out, oh, you need so much hydrochloric acid with each meal, they can't take it because it makes the beat-up stomach lining hurt. And so for those people, we have to do actually intravenous nutrition for usually once a week for a month or something like that. And there are things that definitely we've seen them work over and over again, help to rebuild the stomach lining, and then people could take their hydrochloric acid and pepsin. as their own stomachs made when they were younger, just like a woman's own ovaries made estrogen, progesterone when she was younger, and not do any harm to anything, and in fact, very likely prolong their health span, as it's now being called, and their lifespan. I'll shut up.
How complicated is it to test for the acid strength?
Very fortunately, it's quite simple. Some brilliant German electronics engineer invented a system where one swallows a capsule. Now, that capsule is about the size of a multiple vitamin. So if a person can swallow a multiple vitamin, they can swallow this capsule. However, the capsule is attached to a tiny, tiny thread, which you can barely feel, so it will stay in the stomach. We don't want it going on into the intestine because we're trying to check the stomach. Now, there's a little teeny hole in that capsule, and whatever there is in the stomach that's remaining, a little bit of acid, whatever it is, it gets in a little teeny hole, and guess what? Inside that capsule is a little teeny pH-sensitive electrode. It senses how acid or alkali the things are, and a little teeny FM radio transmitter, and that sends a signal to the computer in front of which a person is sitting if they're getting this test done, and it'll tell you, oh, look at that, the pH in your stomach is thus and such. Okay, now what the University of Toronto came up with, and this was in 1970, is a procedure where then a person is given to swallow, I don't like the taste either, bicarbonate of soda and water, and immediately you can see on the computer screen that the pH has gone way up to alkaline, and then we wait to see how much acid does the stomach make in response to that alkalinity, and how long does it take to neutralize the alkalinity back to what's normal for stomachs to have. It is normal, by the way, for stomachs to have very, very acid in them. I mean, it's been that way ever since we were kids until we got older. So, anyway, that test is, that challenge is repeated 5 times. And then, depending on how the stomach responded to the challenge, then we can tell a person, well, you start cautiously. You're probably going to need ultimately this many betaine hydrochloride capsules with meals. But you always start with just one per meal and make sure you eat some food first and some food after and bury that hydrochloric acid in food and so forth. But that's how it's tested, sir. And the capsule is brought back up. A person can keep it for a souvenir if they want to, because we certainly can't use it on anybody else. Or we'll just chuck it. But that way of testing really beats the older method, which was done to me in my medical school, and I did it to the guy who did it to me. Namely, you put a tube up the nose, down the stomach, and pump the stomach out.
Oof.
I know. We don't do that anymore.
Now, I heard you say that it requires a certain strength of acid in order to cause that lower esophageal sphincter to close.
That is correct, and that's why we get acid reflux.
I've definitely been under the impression that because she has to sit almost straight up trying to sleep at night.
That silly thing can't close
like
at all.
It sounds to me like gravity is the only thing keeping anything in her stomach, and that valve must be wide open.
That's correct, sir. You've got it right on.
Okay, I thought so.
So we know she's got a deficit there, so just how bad is it?
What's that?
I say we know she has a deficit there. It's just how bad is the deficit and how many nutrients are missing. Those are the two things we need to find out.
Okay. These tests can be run at your clinic?
Yep. Been doing it since the 1970s when that University of Toronto thing came out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I meant 1980s. Oh, I'm still in medical school.
That's hard to get where you are.
Where are you?
In Puyallup.
Oh, that's not that far. We're in Tukwila.
Yeah, so I think we can probably come and see you people, and maybe that's the place to start. I don't know, but we need to find the place to start.
Well, I think that is the place to start.
Even now.
Yeah, I think that is the place to start, sir. Now, one thing you can do before that to relieve some of this. In many of the health food stores, and particularly in Tahoma Dispensary, because we deal with this a lot, but a lot of the health food stores have it too, there's something called refluxin, R-E-F-L-U-X-I-N, R-E-F-L-U-X-I-N. It's tablets. They're all natural. You chew them up, and this refluxin stuff goes down the esophagus, and basically, for most people, it either stops or greatly hinders the acid from coming back through that valve. That's why it's called refluxin. But it actually, being all natural, ultimately gets digested and absorbed into the body, because you'll see on the label it's all natural stuff that you can digest. But this refluxin helps a lot of people not have reflux while they're working on the basic problem, because the basic problem is not a lack of refluxin.
No. Yeah, there has to be some other thing lacking, and yeah. And we need some help to find out what that is, because this has been, I think the last time she slept in a bed, it's been probably at least 8 weeks.
Ah, yeah. Well, one other thing she really needs, sir. Remember, those same little cells that make the hydrochloric acid and the pepsin, they make that factor that gloms onto vitamin B12, and without which you cannot absorb vitamin B12 into your body. And B12 is one of those things that's very important for cognitive maintenance. Now, I don't mean it's going. Anybody's going to have Alzheimer's in 8 weeks. I don't mean that at all. But people who take their B12 on the schedule that we usually recommend at Tahoma, which is a actually pay attention to what your body says schedule, it usually perks people up mentally. It doesn't, as they say, cure Alzheimer's, but it sure does perk a lot of people up mentally.
Are the sublingual ones any good?
Nope, because the same cells that make the acid and the pepsin, they make the factor that is totally necessary to glom onto the B12 and pull it into the body. So no, they don't help a bit. Why nature's
so
that
you
way?
Need,
it's only,
it needs to be the injectable one then, huh?
No, sir. Well, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Maybe, sir, there is one company out there that has started turning out some pills that have not only B12 but intrinsic factor in them, but we haven't been able to get any research to see how well they do. So right now we're recommending the shots, but you don't have to see your doctor to have a shot, because the only way you can hurt yourself with vitamin B12 is to fill your bathtub with it and drown. Nobody has ever in the so-called medical literature reported a serious overdose or even a minor overdose of vitamin B12. It just doesn't hurt anybody. So you can learn to give your shots at home is the point.
What can stop the post-nasal drip thing? Does that trigger it, or is that a result because of it?
It could be a result, but I don't hear about that very often, sir. One of the first things I'd be thinking about, because it helps strengthen the lining of all the mucous membranes, is extra vitamin A. But here's the problem. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin. It's got to be taken up by pancreatic function, and if the stomach is making enough acid to trigger the pancreas, it's not going to be taken up too well. So I'd really recommend getting in as soon as you can and getting the test done and seeing what's really needed.
Okay. So I guess we can find your clinic phone number and call and make an appointment, it sounds like.
Sure. 206.
ASAP, too.
Yeah, it's 206-812-9988.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to figure out where to go with this thing here pretty quick, because she's been suffering with this long enough.
Well, I hear you, and I'm sure glad you decided to listen to the program today so you could get all that background. And I'll probably repeat that every once in a while, because it's definitely not teenagers listening to this radio program, and they're the ones with all the strong stomach acid.
Okay. And the lump in the throat, that has something to do with this all too, doesn't it?
Likely. Sorry, but likely.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I think we're kind of on the right track then.
Okay, sir. Okay,
right,
let's see if
you.
I'm on the right track. Oops, I'm past the track. Thank you for calling, sir.
In the February issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, the supplement strontium is explained in great detail. Studies show that strontium helps to improve bone density, decrease tooth sensitivity, and can help treat osteoporosis in a natural, healthy way. You may be wondering what to look for in a strontium supplement. Based on research, it appears that between 340 and 680 milligrams of elemental strontium works best. The smaller quantities will help prevent bone loss from occurring, while the larger doses can help treat osteoporosis. Talk to your doctor or schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. To read the full article and find out the ins and outs of strontium, Subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter by visiting greenmedicinenewsletter.com. That's greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. Schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. Call 602-252-4477. Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
The Tahoma Clinic is a premier holistic medical clinic established in 1973 by Dr. Jonathan V. Wright. Dr. Wright is a well-known pioneer in natural medicine, researcher, author, and speaker. The Tahoma Clinic has provided evidence-based natural treatments for thousands of patients. Located between Seattle and Tacoma, just 15 minutes from SeaTac Airport, the Tahoma Clinic provides a multifaceted approach to healthcare. Recommended therapies include bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, customized vitamin, mineral, amino acid, essential fatty acid, and botanical therapies. They offer non-invasive thermography screening for breast health, treatment for dry macular degeneration, therapies to support brain health, the Heidelberg Digestive Analysis to determine levels of stomach acid, plus advanced naturopathic care. They invite you to call 206-812-9988 to schedule an appointment or ask your specific questions. The Tahoma Clinic is looking forward to assisting you on your path to wellness.
Sharing the secrets to anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being. You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Okay, time for me to shut up right away and get to your calls. And we'll hope to get to everybody, which would be, let's see, Betsy, Michael, and Candace. So I'll shut up and listen to Betsy. Betsy.
Hello?
Hello, Betsy. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm on your subjects today. I was just listening to that digestive thing. I took the Heidelberg, and my stomach was so bad we had to do the two-month protocol. And I went on the HCL, but now I've been switched to Biogest because my doctor thought somehow the HCL was affecting my liver. I don't know if that's possible, but I also don't know whether the Biogest works the same way, and so I want to know if it works and if it's how many I should be taking.
Well, ma'am, the Biogest is all digestive enzymes, and while they do digest things, no question about that, they also don't digest some of the same things that betaine hydrochloride and pepsin digest. That's, I guess, why nature and creation have designed us with both the stomach and the pancreas so we could do acid phase digestion and then alkaline phase. So
on the back of this, it says betaine hydrochloride, 480 milligrams.
Okay.
And then it has pancretin, oxbile, pepsin. Pepsin is 70 milligrams, and L-glutamic acid hydrochloride, also 480 milligrams.
Okay, well, I was slightly wrong, but overall, I'm sorry, I was still correct. Let's see, does nature mix acid digestion and alkaline digestion together? No, nature very carefully separates them by closing the sphincter between the stomach and the pancreas. And in the stomach, it's all acid digestion, and then it goes through that valve, and that valve closes, and now it's all alkaline digestion, and that's the way nature does it. So putting things that are acid digesters, namely betaine hydrochloride with pepsin, and the pancreatic enzyme in the same pill is bound to not do a good job because one of them is supposed to have an acid environment, the other one's supposed to have an alkaline environment. That's a very foolish idea. I don't know why the company who does it that way. I'd love to see some of their research to prove that it actually gets the job done in a way entirely different from what nature does. But
well, that was
opinion,
actually recommended by my doctor there at Tolga Clinic, and the company is Thorne. But anyway, so what do you suggest that I do? Now, is it possible that the HDL was affecting my liver in some way?
I doubt it, ma'am, because hydrochloric acid is made by the stomach in very large quantities when we're in our teens and 20s, unless we're in the 5% of women who don't bake as much in their 20s. And it doesn't bother the liver one bit. Now, as far as the betaine, probably not that either. That's not been shown to bother the liver, so I would be guessing that something else is bothering your liver if your liver is showing signs of bother.
Okay, so I'll go back to the HDL. My question then is how much I should use.
Did you have a gastric analysis? A gastric analysis?
I have to get enough, and I'm. How do I know that I'm getting enough?
Okay. The first thing we do is make an estimate, and please notice the word estimate, just based on experience from your gastric analysis. So was that estimate made for you?
Well, it's been quite a while ago since I did that, but I started out with one pill, and then that seemed to work all right. And then when I switched this Biogest, it seemed like I was getting a little reflux, so I went to two. But I seem to be doing pretty good on just one regular HCL.
Well, here's the thing to do then, ma'am. Whichever physician you're working with should have asked you for either a hair mineral analysis, which is really simple. You just clip uncolored hair and send it off to the laboratory in the mail.
I had that done at the clinic some time ago.
Good. And now that you've been taking the hydrochloric acid for a while, you get another one done and you compare the two. And if you've been using enough hydrochloric acid pepsin, overall, you will have better levels of minerals. I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be all better or that they're going to be all totally normal, but at least they will be better than the last time because you've had enough hydrochloric acid to do the job. On the other side of things, if the second mineral analysis isn't any better than the first one, or as frequently happens when we're older, it's worse than the first one, then we need more hydrochloric acid and pepsin to get those minerals broken out of the so-called organic matrix they're in food, or to get them extracted from, if we're swallowing supplements, from the supplement form, ma'am. So the before and after hair mineral analysis is one very good way to keep track of whether we're getting enough. And the other way of keeping track is a blood test. That's a little more cumbersome. You have to go to the lab, get blood drawn, but even so, it does the job. And there they're checking for the essential amino acids, the ones our bodies can't make. And, of course, the first one of those.
I missed a little bit about the blood test. What does the blood test do? I didn't quite understand what you said.
It does the same thing. It's checking before and after for essential amino acids, the ones that our bodies can't make that must be gotten out of the food protein. So that should be done.
So is
before.
That in addition to the mineral test or instead
no.
of?
No. Either one will do the job, ma'am. That's between you and your physician.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, because that would be easier, because I have colored hair, and it took me forever to grow enough of the other hair for the mineral test. So
get the blood test done, then. It'll tell you the same thing. The blood test will tell you the same thing. Are you taking enough, or do you need more? It'll tell you.
Okay, so I'll order the blood test then for the minerals. And then
the blood test is called fasting plasma essential amino acids.
Oh, fasting essential amino acids.
There you go.
And I won't need the mineral test again.
No, not unless you feel like it, but no.
Okay, fasting amino, I'm writing this down.
Yeah, but make sure to put the word essential before amino because it's a select group of amino acids and the lab knows what it is.
Essential fasting amino acid test.
There you go.
And then I can check on my hydrochloride. Okay, yep. The other thing I originally called about is I get my bioidentical hormones from you, and I heard that discussion earlier, and the directions I have for using these do not comport with what you said.
You can hear the music there, but please call back next week and we can go over that, because if they don't, then somebody isn't doing it properly, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Speak to you next week. And I'm sorry for the folks who've been waiting. A lot of complicated stuff today. Please call us back next week and I'll take just as long with you if it's needed. That's what we do in this program. Bye now. Next week.